Am I here?
Good morning and welcome.
Yes, Sherry. Sorry, I couldn't
technology.
Find you.
Gosh. Oh, dear. Oh, good to hear your voice. Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything and How You Do Everything is How You Do Everything. And our assignment from yesterday, the most important thing my father ever told me was, .. record and listen. And so here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine.
Hey. I'm really, really getting so much of just looking back at the family and my childhood. And regarding my father, there's a lot of feeling that comes up. We didn't communicate very much. He was kind of a quiet guy, mm-hmm. and he worked like 12 hours a day, 7 days a week when I was probably till I went probably through college, my college. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of an introverted sort of guy. So I can't remember when I was looking at something, I can't really remember anything that I thought was especially important, but he showed me in 1,000 ways that he loved me.
Uh-huh.
And he was a good man. He worked hard. He provided for the family. So that message of, being a good person and being a good citizen and being honest and, all of those important things that he showed me rather than, maybe telling me.
Mm-hmm. He communicated a lot about values.
Yes, he did. And I believe he loved me. I don't think he ever said he did. I don't remember that. But he might have. I just don't remember. But he took care of things. So he and my uncle owned a gas station in our town. It was a small town in Missouri. And that's where he worked like 7 days a week. And when I would come home, like from college, I'd drive home, or even after college, and I would come, lived in St. Louis, and I would go home for the weekend. The first thing he would do is take my car and service it and make sure everything worked and it was safe. And, it's like without even telling me, he's doing it,
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So,
I love you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and again, this has been so helpful because ego paints a picture of my childhood and my family relationships as a complete and total disaster. My childhood was just one long, horrible experience. And my my mother and father didn't like me. And this is where all my self-hate comes from. And that's just, none of that is true. It's like the Epictetus that we're studying about appearances. You are just your appearance. And when I look at it, it's like none of that is true.
Isn't that astonishing?
It is. It is.
Whatever it is, bringing us up short, that we can live in an utter lie.
Yeah.
Without ever questioning it. Why would you ever question it? Right?
Right.
Except through awareness practice and looking at the things you're looking at, why would you ever question that? That all the information you get is, it was awful. They're awful people. It was an awful time. I barely survived. That's what's wrong with me. There. That's a perfect
right
story for ego. Right?
Yeah.
And then to get to this point of realizing, well, that's not true.
Right. And, and so that's important. It's such an important process. And I've kind of seen in the last couple weeks, actually, I've been really looking at, wow, there's all this self-hate, and it feels like there's somebody at the bottom of the well how do I help that person? How do I get to a loving place? And so I would record and listen, and, you know, I was practicing. And after this, and that was good, and that was helpful, and just what we've been looking at in the year-long retreat with family, what I'm seeing is ego has built, the story has just created this barrier around me and love.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm living in that story. I'm not receiving any love.
Mm-hmm.
I find it really difficult to even give myself any love.
Well, yes, as long as we're living in those ego lies, we can't. Love isn't there. Ego
right.
is the opposite, the absence of love. Right?
So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Which is what makes this so important, right? To really let those true memories come in and feel that, and let that become a deeper experience. I mm-hmm. suspect that you're going to find that is the route to that little girl who is left, that person who is left at the bottom of the well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had to be thrown down that well and kept there, right, for these lies to be believable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So good. It's really been helpful, and it's like I know that both my parents are gone. They've been gone for a while, but I know they would be horrified. They would be devastated to think yeah. I have this self-hate.
Yeah.
And that I have lived yeah. in this story that they didn't like me. They would, I
yeah.
mean, I just know that that's the truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it would be truly horrible. And recognizing that comes from seeing what is true. So
mm-hmm.
when you talk about recording and listening, people will say, you know, so I should just focus on what's positive, right? And I always say, no, don't focus on an idea of positive. Focus on what is real and true, and that's what you're doing here. You're seeing
mm-hmm.
what is true.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
I love it. All right. Go
okay,
ahead.
And I ordered my hat.
Oh,
I ordered
good.
My hat. Yeah.
I heard a rumor that they are flying off the shelf.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And
we've started our movement.
We have started the movement, yeah. And soon I'm going to send out another little note to people of this what I think, what I hope will be a fun thing to do with those caps. So more on the cap scene soon.
Okay, great. Thank you so much,
right.
Sherry.
Thanks,
you too,
Catherine.
Ashley. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Catherine. Sherry, I am receiving some information that there's difficulty in getting on the queue. I don't know why. For some people, it's working. I have 20 people in the queue, and there's lots of texting back and forth that there is there's difficulty getting on the queue. Anyway,
yeah.
So I'm going to bring the next caller in and try to reboot this in order for it to
okay.
work. So,
okay.
So it would be helpful if apparently it's the internet, if people connecting through the internet that the queue functionality is not working for. So let me go work out what I can do
then
about
maybe
that.
Maybe just call in directly, huh?
Yeah. Here's
okay.
the next caller, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Next caller, are you there? Oh, dear.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live
oh.
on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay.
All right. Are you there?
Hello?
I don't think we... Hello? Is the next
okay,
caller
well,
hello?
Here?
Hello.
Oh, there she is.
I'm sorry. This is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hey, Jennifer. What are you seeing?
Ah, I had such a great childhood. I've just been basking in it for days.
Uh-huh.
I am just so lucky.
Uh-huh.
I just really am lucky. And I did have that thing, I think I heard somebody else say, where conditioning kind of walks in there and goes, oh, come on. wasn't that great.
Come on, Pollyanna. Let's get the real story going here.
Yeah, this is a big whitewash. Yeah. But no, it's not. the most important thing that I remember my father saying was that he would say when I was really upset about something, he'd say, you know, 2 weeks from now, nobody's going to know the difference.
Wow.
And that was, it really came with an impact because in my teens, he got cancer, and in my 20s, he died of it. So I always knew he was speaking from a larger perspective.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh.
That sense that he was really kind of day by day or moment by moment talking mm-hmm. about what was going on with him and seeing how mm-hmm. quickly everything changes. And
Yeah, and to keep the bigger perspective, he'd also say don't sweat the small stuff a lot, but that 2 weeks one, that worked for me like a charm.
Yeah.
Every time I would be all in a twirl about what somebody thought or how this went, I'd say, you know, everybody's going to forget in 2 weeks, you know, just not go there.
That is so, that's helpful to me because I've always said in 100 years, what difference does it, you know, and that's
actually,
a very
it's
long
2 weeks.
But it's actually closer to 2 weeks, and especially in our modern society, right? The mm-hmm. every year that goes by, the time gets shorter, doesn't it?
Right.
Now, people can't keep track of anything for 15 minutes because there's the next deluge of new stuff that we have to. So, 2 weeks is the long view at this point. I love it.
And I've passed it on to my children. This is probably going to be an important thing for them. So I like to spread that one. It's a good one.
If there's going to be family wisdom, that's good.
Yeah.
And with Catherine, if there's going to be family wisdom, let it be something along the line. Well, the all of the values, yes. But also, Keep your machinery in good shape.
Yeah.
Right? Take care of the things that take care of you.
Yeah, that is definitely the language of love of a lot of men in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, here, let me fix that. Here, I've got this perfect tool for that. Here, let me help you.
Yes. Yeah, and if we can hear it as I love you, hey, in 2 weeks, nobody's going to, okay, that translates into "I love you." I'm mm-hmm. here. That's wonderful.
It's great. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jennifer. Sherry, I'm also receiving information that it's connecting through the app that it's hard to do. And if you are on the app, apparently the join the queue is grayed out. And so to get on the queue, bring the dial button up and press *6. So that might help. I have relaunched the application, and I hope that it works for people. And we'll get with Start Meeting and try to work this out for tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right.
Well, we already have a couple of folks on, and that's all we're going to have time for this morning. So we are really looking at tomorrow. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, gracious.
Hi. No, you got me. This is Janet.
Oh! Hey,
Yay.
Janet.
Hi.
Yay, here we go.
Yay. All right. I have been loving this, too, working with the family and looking at everything, and I really appreciated what Catherine just brought up because it just brought back so much to me about all the things not only my dad but men in my life have done for me by way of let me fix this, let me work on this, you know, and how that never translated before to love. It always translated to why can't they just love me?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Not about fixing anything. So So I loved having that. And I think it relates to what I wanted to say about my dad, is he always, when I was growing up, wanted me to be different. He didn't want me to be interested in what he called quote-unquote weird things, like meditation and yoga and, you know, anything that he didn't understand. He was a corporate man, you know, wanted me to work for a corporation and have all the security.
Get a good job and
all the security.
Pay for your retirement. And
this life, exactly. And I just wasn't going along with any of it. And that whole upbringing, I thought that there was something wrong with me because I wasn't able to do what he had, like, wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. So, but I want to say what happened was, what he said to me was, when he was dying, I was the person who was able to be with him more than anybody else. And when he was dying, he said to me, do not ever stop what you're doing. Don't ever listen to anybody like me.
No. Did he really say that?
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't ever listen to anybody like me who doubts things because they're too scared. I will never, ever forget that because I was like, does he know what he just gave me? And what I realized was that in that moment that it wasn't me. I didn't change, but it was him.
Yeah.
He saw something different. So all the time we're thinking it's us, and it has nothing to do with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And we could wish, although we understand that it takes everything it takes for us, but that as children, that children could realize that.
Right.
But it does seem just to be part of the process we all have to go through of looking out. And I suppose for our survival, it's helpful for us to think that the adults who are in charge of us know what they're doing and that they're right. And then as we grow up, that to see that relationship change so beautifully father, that he could come to that clarity.
Amazing. But he had never been, I mean, where was the corporation then?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he really, I believe, opened himself up enough to see that what really mattered was not what he thought what really mattered.
Yes, yes, yes. And how fortunate to have the opportunity that many of us have to see that ahead of time, to see that before we're dying, you know, before we don't have other choices available to us, to realize that what conditioning says is valuable in our lives is in fact not.
Yeah, not at all. Nothing had
not
anything
at all.
To do with anything.
Except
for what he had been told in his head and what I had been told in my head, which kept us disconnected.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I know.
Well, so you know that so there's the Buddhist perspective that that what he got was worth the whole thing. And it sounds like he was a good dad and provided for the family and did all of that. But what he saw in it at that moment will change that karma forever. And so we can be very happy for him that he got to that place of clarity and especially that he was able to articulate it.
Oh, boy, that just brings chills to me. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that, about it changing the karma.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very
for him and for you.
Powerful,
right?
Yeah,
so the karma that he carried and the karma you were carrying.
Yeah, definitely. And I see it so much clearer now. And I have never, you know, sometimes things will conditioning will get in there and tell me the same old story, and I'll be like, no,
not true,
because that was such a strong experience of
just
keep going. And it was a whole world he didn't understand anything of, but he got to see how I was with him in a way that nobody else could be.
That's right. And I project from what he said that what he realized is you were fearless, that what you had been pursuing took away the fear that had ruled his life. And we only need to touch into that once to see that there's another possibility.
Oh, thank you for saying that. That's powerful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Janet, when you make those recordings, when you see conditioning come in and want to start down the same old track, the response to that is blah, 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 blah. And that is not true. What is true is, and yeah. Then replace that old story with what you know to be true.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I'm so glad I got to be on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks, Janet. Sherry, a process I was seeing there, which seems to be universal for everybody, right, that we come in with what we are authentically and the karma. And the karma happens to be sort of that we're born into circumstances that would assist the karma to continue, and we have the opportunity to transcend it.
Yes.
And that it so often seems to be the case that what we long for more than anything else is for our authenticity to be reflected. But because the circumstances of the karma are such, what gets reflected to us is what we're not. And then that translates into there's something wrong with me, because the people I want love from the most are the people who are telling me what I'm not, rather than reflecting what I am. They want me to be different, or they want me to be whatever it is, right? And that the gift that we receive through grace is the ability for us to get to the place where Janet got to, where I see you for who you are, and I embrace and celebrate that. And that's all we're ever looking for. That's what gets denied. And I think that's what this practice offers, where we no longer live from that deprivation of need, because we are the eyes that can actually see the authenticity as it is. And that's the transcendence of the karma.
Whew. Yes. Yes, that is a beautiful encapsulation, if we call it that, of practice in action. We become the ones who can see, who can recognize and acknowledge authenticity.
Yes, and when we've been seen, then we can offer the gift of reflecting for people, for anyone else, who they are, and pass that gift on. And it's something you say, and there's nothing wrong with you. It requires growing up in order to do that. When I stop wanting to be seen by another person as proof of love for me, when I can acknowledge that or have been assisted in seeing myself that way, then I'm able to offer that gift to everybody I meet. And it's the greatest gift that we can offer, is to reflect someone's authenticity rather than come from that negativity of ego that we're identified with that denies someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, yes. That's why that simple little statement is so important. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here's
really getting
that. Time for one.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to try to squeeze one other caller in, given all our technology difficulties, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Oh, hello. It's Nancy.
Hey,
from,
Nancy.
From Washington.
Hey there.
Hi. Yes, I... Stop this. I love these exercises, too. And what I remember my dad saying was, when I had made a decision that both my mom and dad could see was heading towards disaster, that would head towards disaster, my mom freaked out, you know, and, ah, how could you? You can't do that. And my dad, I remember he came into my room and he said, you know, you have to make your own decision in this, because I had asked him what he thought. And he said, you have to make your own decision, and then you have to live with that decision, and then you'll learn by your experiences.
Wow.
So that was his
kind of laid
advice
it out, huh?
To me. Yeah, right. And I always remember that, and I kind of always kind of live by that. And I try to use that with my kids, too, not all successful. But basically, I did see that, and I lived through that, and they were truly words of wisdom. So.
Oh, yeah, because, again, it captures the whole thing, right? You have to make your own decisions. Okay, right, we get that. You have to make your own decisions. But what he added to it are the two most important things. Then you have to live with your decisions, and you will learn from them. You will learn from that experience. That's the whole package. And, of course, what ego wants us to do is to make its decisions, usually, and then whine and scream and complain that we are victims to circumstances because things don't work out the way ego said they were going to work out. So he gave you the whole deal, right? There will be consequences to these decisions, and you will need to live with those, and you will learn from that. Wow.
Yeah. And it was pretty much a prophecy.
Right.
Because it's exactly what happened.
That's right. Well, because, you know, the thing that parents have going, especially if there's, you know, it's some level of conscious awareness, which clearly was going on with him, he'd lived long enough to have learned that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I learned a lot about him from what he said.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to have it presented so succinctly, and it sounds like with such kindness.
And calmness.
And you were able to receive it.
Yeah. The calmness is what, because it was such a contrast to my mom, who was basically freaking out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I see myself, you know, when these things do happen in families and, you know, my kids and all that, I can go both ways, you know, basically.
You have
to watch my
skill sets.
That's right. So if I'm not paying attention, you know, I freak out, and then I can get to the other side where, you know, I remain very calm and just know that they're going to learn by their experience, you know. So
yeah. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Nancy. Nancy, I'm not able to mute you, so while we wrap the show up, just for you to know that.
Anything you say or do will be audible.
Yes. Oh, well, I just managed to do it. Okay. The most important thing my mother ever told me was record and listen. That's our assignment for today.
All right. Wow. Well, this is a good time, isn't it?
It is.
I've received so much words to live by through these exercises. It's I'm very grateful. So thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, as always, for struggling with the technology that makes this possible for us.
All right.
Much appreciated. All right.
Take care, everybody.
And good Lord
willing,
we'll
try to
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we'll try to fix the issues.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.